Hello, everyone, and you're listening to Fun with Guns on the Espinosa Report at kbcradio.com. I am your host, Richard Espinosa. It is 3:30 p.m., Tuesday, March 19th. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to lock and load, and let's have fun with guns. Well, today on episode 2 of Fun with Guns, this week is the celebration of Women's History Month. I would like to share a quote from one of my favorite women in American history, and that's none other than Annie Oakley, who is a true pioneer of the revolution of sharpshooting. Oakley once said, "I would like to see every woman who knows how to handle firearms as naturally as they know how to handle babies." And my guests today are two amazing guests who are here today to share their passion for both for 19th century and modern arms. It is my pleasure to welcome Mark Romano, who is also known by his cowboy name, Frederick Jackson Turner. And he is a national champion in cowboy competition. He also did a show with Michael Bain, who hosts a shooting gallery on Outdoors Channel. And my other guest is Ruby Walker, who's also known as Ruby Jewel. She is a competitive shooter in cowboy cowgirl competition and is the founder of Ladies of Cowboy Action Shooting. Mark and Ruby, thank you so much for coming. I've been looking forward to meeting both of you.
Hi, Richard. You. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Okay. And we'll start off with Mark. Okay. Mark, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in cowboy competition.
Well, that's kind of a long and tortuous story, so let's talk about cowboy action competition. I had a little bit of time on my hands about 15 years ago. I was looking for a fun hobby. And I chanced to come across a copy of the newspaper for SAS, the Cowboy Chronicle. And what I saw looked like an awful lot of fun. There was a guy in a cavalry outfit firing a Gatling gun. And I said, boy, that looks like fun to me. Let's go get me some of that. So when I started off, I was going to purchase a single action revolver, a lever action rifle, and a side-by-side shotgun, firearms, because my interest was primarily in more modern weapons, firearms, which I had never had any use for prior to that. And by the time I was done, I had several sets of single-action revolvers and several lever-action rifles and a whole raft of 1897 Winchesters, which is the one pump-action shotgun allowed in the cowboy action competition, and a story itself.
And Ruby, tell us about your organization that you founded. It was the Ladies of Cowboy Action Shooting. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's the Ladies of Cowboy Action Shooting, and our group was started to encourage women to shoot cowboy action shooting, encourage more ladies to get involved, and support our current ladies that are currently shooting cowboy action.
Okay. And Mark, tell us about Duel in the Sun, the show that you did with Michael Baines.
There are a lot of people who look at cowboy action shooting as though it was sort of the poor stepchild of competition in any sort. I have shot with these people long enough and watched their skill level enough to know that people who compete in cowboy action shooting are among the very best shooters in the world anywhere. So I thought it would be an interesting challenge to take a couple of frontline sponsored professional shooters who participate in action pistol and three gun competitions and the like, and put them together in a head-to-head match with some of the top cowboy action shooters in the world. And so a few years ago, I got together with the CEO of SAS and with Michael Bain, and we agreed to put on a show which did precisely that. It put in a competition three top three gun shooters and three top cowboy action shooters together, head to head, using each other's firearms and then their own firearms on a predetermined course to see who was, all in good humor, of course, the best. And to the surprise of everyone except myself and the cowboy shooters won.
Yeah, and I watched that video, and why was that? What's the advantage on both?
Modern firearms, like modern automobiles, sort of take care of themselves. That is to say, if you have them properly maintained, they will function and fire and do most of the work for you. Cowboy firearms require a lot more manual dexterity, a lot more manual effort. And as a consequence, the cowboys actually went in with a little bit of an advantage, because it was easier for them to shoot the modern firearms than it was for the modern shooters, all of whom, by the way, were remarkably good sports, to shoot cowboy firearms.
And Ruby, have you ever been on any cable networks with your organization? If so, what was it?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Is there any plans in the future?
How about right now?
Exactly. Here's our first first time.
Okay. Do you have like a website?
We do. We are www.ladiesofcowboyactionshooting.com. We also have a Facebook page where we have 1,400 members, and mostly women, but we do have cowboys in there. The cowboys in our group are very supportive of us, and the ladies are in there supporting each other, enfolding new shooters, children, keep the sport alive.
Okay. And what places have you two have traveled for cowboy competition? If so, what's your favorite place that you traveled?
Ruby, why don't you take that first?
Well, the farthest from California for me was the World Cup in New Mexico, Albuquerque. So, and this August, I'll be traveling for the first time to the European Nationals, which I'm very excited about. And may I mention, our organization also has an award system called the Cowgirl of Honor Awards. And this is based on how a cowgirl gives back to her shooting community. It's not based on her shooting ability, but it's based on how she gives back to her shooting community. And we do that four times a year at SAS events, four SAS events. Mm-hmm.
SAS being the Single Action Shooting Society, which thank is the parent Mark. Organization of Cowboy Action.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And what's your favorite place you like to travel, Mark?
Okay, I have had the very good fortune to travel to all four corners of the United States. I've shot in virtually every state in the United States, and I've also had the very good fortune of traveling and kind of getting the flag waving for cowboy action shooting in Europe as well. There is a very lively cowboy action shooting segment in Europe, and they are epitomized by none other than our friend right over here, Shotgun Boogie, who in addition to being a top competitor is also the premier gunsmith in cowboy action shooting.
Okay. And why don't you tell us about some of your greatest matches that you've been in?
You have to define great. Now, in terms of outcomes, the proudest I've ever been of an individual finish was a match in which I finished fifth overall. But there is so much more to cowboy action shooting than just the competition element. Look, there'd be no doubt competition is a huge part of this, and the front-end shooters train as long and as hard and as diligently as any competitors for any sport, from the Olympics down to, I guess, cornhole chucking. These people take it very, very seriously, and they are unbelievably good at what they do. But in cowboy action shooting, what did my daughter once say? I used to be a very competitive baseball player and also raced motorcycles. And so she traveled through all those with me. And one day at a cowboy match, she was holding my hand and she looked up at me and she said, "Dad," she said, "I like this sport. There are less jerks in it than anything else that you do." One of the oldest sayings in cowboy action shooting is, "You come for the shooting, but you stay for the people." And so I can tell you about my prowess as a shooter, several national championships, several world championships. But if you ask me what my favorite match was, I would talk about the ones where I had the most fun. And those would be, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but those would be the world championships where a group called the Pooley Gang goes out there into the high Mesa Desert of the hill country in New Mexico, puts out a swimming pool, fills it up with 1,000 gallons of water, puts a candelabra in it, and then spends the weekend, when they're not competing, partying in a pool out in the middle of nowhere. The European Championship, where, and this is a true story I'll never forget, one day one of the French competitors having a very, very bad match. And he walks up to the doorway where this particular stage is taking place, and he looks at the convoluted stage, and he looks longingly back at the wine bottle in his cart, shrugs his shoulders, takes off his firearms, picks up the wine bottle, and goes and sits in the shade. Honestly, the Europeans treat it as though it was a party and a shooting match broke out. And those, regardless of the outcome of the match, those are some of the most fun I've ever had.
Okay. And how about you, Ruby? What was some of your greatest matches you've had?
I have to agree with Mark. the camaraderie that you have when you show up to a match, the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm planning to go to that match is, oh, I get to see Sassy Dancer that I only get to see a couple times a year, or, you know, and of course we all have aliases, so we don't use our real name. We have an alias.
Yeah.
So it's that whole thing of, oh, I get to see this guy, that girl, you know, and from across the globe, because, you know, they're not in your backyard, but they hook up with you down the road.
Friends that you get to see once
yes.
or twice a year.
Yes.
And please understand, this is in a sport where, again, the top cowboy shooters were able to out-duel the top three-gun shooters. And yet, what are they talking about here? How wonderful it is to be among friends.
Okay. And speaking of those aliases, how did you get the name Frederick Jackson Turner as your cowboy name?
Oh, that's a good question, and I am so glad you asked. All right. When I found out that there was an alias associated with this, I was so excited. I called the SAS office, and I said, is Frederick Jackson Turner available? Is Frederick Jackson Turner available? And the lady on the other end of the line, you could just see her making a face going, yeah, I'm pretty sure that one's still available, sir. The Wyatt Earps and the Jesse Jameses go really, really quickly. I chose Frederick Jackson Turner because he's an important historical American figure. I'm a college professor, and Frederick Jackson Turner was also a college professor, and he wrote, shortly after the closing of the American frontier, he wrote a doctoral essay in which he pointed out that it was the movement westward which had defined the nature of America. By taking soft, effete Europeans and Easterners, the struggle to survive had turned them into tough, independent, self-reliant characters called Americans. And I was very excited to take that alias because I thought it was good, right, and true.
Okay. And I take it, Ruby, you came with the name Ruby Jewel because a ruby is a jewel. Am I correct?
No.
But there's still more.
Here we go. So, before Cowboy Action Shooting, and currently, I repurpose and make jewelry. So, my girlfriend says, why don't you be Ruby Jewel because you make jewelry? And so, and of course, now I make bullet jewelry, which is part of the game now. So, that's how I got my alias.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, and how do you prepare yourselves for matches? What are some of the things you do to prepare yourselves?
This is something, again, when I was at the top of the game, this is something that I took very seriously. I work out vigorously 6 days a week. I make certain that I eat the right foods. I make sure that I train my eyesight. And I make sure that there are three elements to cowboy action shooting. Number one, you have got to dry fire. You've got to simply manipulate the guns. And so over and over and over again, you go through likely stage scenarios and you manipulate the firearms. But manipulating the firearms in the safety of your garage or your bedroom apartment or something like that is not the same as live fire. So you have to go out to the range as often as you want to or can afford, and you have to shoot to make sure that what you're doing is actually landing on steel. But that's not the same as competition, because once you start adding the adrenaline from a match, the whole game changes. So you must dry fire rigorously, you must live fire, and then you must also engage in matches. You simply have to put in track time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, and what do you do, Ruby, for preparing yourself for matches?
Pretty much the same thing. I always try to eat good and you know, take care of myself, get enough sleep. That's really key. If I don't get enough sleep, that's, you know, not a good thing. So it's important to get good sleep. And I try to stay calm because I get a little more nervous than Mark does on the firing line.
That's part of the fun. Listen, if you go when the timer operator says shooter ready, stand by, the moment between the standby and the beep of the button is the best or worst moment in the world. It's that moment if you surf, when you go over the top of a wave and you start to drop into the wave, that express elevator feeling in your stomach. There is no substitute. That's living. That's what excitement truly, truly is. And whatever happens will be the result of how well you prepared with a good, healthy dose of good luck or bad. Mm-hmm. But it is that moment that it's very difficult to capture any other way.
After the first stage is
over. And how much practice time do you put in each week when you prepare for your matches?
When I am preparing in earnest, I dry fire 5 days a week. And I make sure that I do it. Uh-oh, insider tips. I make sure that I do it at the hour and in the lighting conditions of the match in which I will be competing. I also make sure that I practice live firing at the hour and in the same lighting conditions as the match. I do that several times a week, and then I compete in as many local matches as I can prior to the competition. And I try to gear the matches that I attend to those which will be most similar to the environment in which I will find myself competing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your favorite caliber to compete in, single action Army revolver between a .45 Long Colt or a .357 Magnum? Or
this
what's your favorite
is,
one?
This is where, that's a good question, this is where we step away a little bit from historical authenticity. The simple truth is, you'd be shooting anything from a .32 caliber rimfire to a .45 Long Colt if this were the Old West. We don't need to kill anything. All we need to do is make the steel ring. And so you'll find that most competitors, for ease of use, inexpensive components, etc., most use .38/357. That is what I use, and that's what most other most top competitors use as well.
Okay. And the Colt single action revolver, as we all know, is expensive and costly. What are better alternatives to use for a cowboy competition, let's say between Ruger, AU Birdie, Taylor & Company, Heritage Manufacturing, and Sima? And if you like them, say they're good, and if they're bad, they're junk.
Colts are magnificent. There's nothing like the feeling of a Colt in your hand. You're holding 150 years worth of history and tradition in your hand. The problem is the firearms, when we employ them, we were just talking about my practice schedule before a major match. The firearms manufactured them were never intended to be shot as much, as often, as hard as the way we use them. Mm-hmm. So modern replicas of the firearms are made out of better steel, and they're generally better assembled. But a step further is to get something which, instead of duplicating the old design, has included some modern improvements. If the untrained eye looks at what most competitors use, that is, a Ruger, if they look at a Ruger Vaquero, it is externally virtually indistinguishable from the Colt Peacemaker. But inside, most of the leaf springs have been replaced with coil springs. The castings are made differently. It's altogether a more efficient machine. Having said that, even the modern upgrade to the Colt Peacemaker still needs some modification to make it run reliably and trouble-free. And that is what people like our good friend here, Shotgun Boogie, does, mm-hmm. which is he has taken a new modern design and then he has refined it to make it possible for top competitors to shoot easier and more trouble-free.
Absolutely.
Okay. And how about you? What's your response to that too, Ruby?
Yeah, currently I have a great new pair of Rugers that are 38s, slicked up really nice by Shotgun Boogie, of course. And I love those. They're awesome. Yeah.
Okay. And so 38 Special, is that your favorite round you like mm-hmm. to use when you
yeah.
compete?
Yeah. I was shooting 32s, but I like the weight of the heavier gun.
That actually helps attenuate the recoil a little bit. Keeps the gun steadier on target.
It does.
And did you have any experience with the new Colt's newest single action army? It's called the Frontier model. What do you know about that?
The new Frontier with the sights on top?
Yes.
Again, there's no getting around the fact that Colt is the originator and they are the tradition, and you know, God made men, but Sam Colt made them all equal. But the new Frontier was an attempt, kind of an abortionate attempt, I'm sorry to say, to bring it into a new century. The sights on top look ungainly and kind of out of place. It's still a very, very good pistol for something other than cowboy action shooting. But if you want authenticity, you buy a Colt Peacemaker or one of the Italian-made clones. You mentioned all the clones from the Valley of Fire, the area up near Brescia, Italy. Mm-hmm. And you go with the fixed sight and you tailor your load to what it is that you're going to be doing with it.
Okay. And have you experienced the Frontier model yourself, Ruby?
I do not.
Do not? Okay. All right. Smith & Wesson and Remington are both legends in the firearm industry. I do not see them making any single action armies anymore. Do you think they should or should not get into the SAA competition?
That is a fair question, and that's something they would have to answer. We occupy a pretty a vibrant but minuscule niche in the world of shooting. Like I said, when I started, I had no use for a single action revolver. I had no use for a lever action rifle. Those were things for the history books. When I got into it, then I purchased several. I will never forget representing SAS at the SHOT Show, the huge annual firearms manufacturing show in Las Vegas every year. The first time I went to look up the SAS booth, you walk past the giant pavilion for Remington or Glock or Beretta or Winchester, and then there on aisle 178 is the SAS folding card table. It's again, it's a small niche. If they were to get into it, it would require a significant outlay of engineering and manufacture, and I think economically it's just not feasible at this point in time.
Okay. And Ruby, do you think that Smith & Wesson and Ruger should get involved? What's your take on that? Would that be good?
Yes, no, maybe. It would be nice to have the competition.
Sure, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Smith & Wesson makes a really good, and Remington makes a really good 1911 that an adjunct to cowboy action shooting, Wild Bunch action shooting. Both Remington and Smith make really nice 1911s, and we compete with those things. As a matter of fact, I use a Remington for my number one competition gun, and my backup's a Smith & Wesson. So there you go.
Okay. Have you ever tried the Smith & Wesson Model 29, the one that Clint Eastwood used in Dirty Harry?
It is my hiking gun. I have one. Mine is not the big 8-inch barrel. Mine's a little 4-inch barrel.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used a Model 29 too, Ruby, before?
No, I haven't.
Not a starter's gun. It is not a starter's pistol.
I can tell. Okay. All right. And what kind of holsters do you use when you compete?
I have a cross draw, so they're both going the same direction.
Who's your maker?
Tombstone Leather.
That's a good maker.
Nick Assad.
I use a Mertical rig, and I want to tell you why I use a Mertical rig. I've had several sponsorships over time, but a number of years ago, on my way back from Germany, all of my firearms and leather was stolen from the flight. Bob Mertical loaned me one of his demo outfits to use for the weekend, and when I came back at the end of the weekend, shamefacedly handing him back his demo, which was all scratched up, he said, "Well, that's all scratched up. Boy, I can't use that. Why don't you just keep it?"
Okay, and what advice would you give Pierce College students if they want to get in the cowboy competition?
Go, do it. It's fun.
Honestly, if you find there are matches every Saturday and Sunday here in Southern California, all of them within an hour's drive of Pierce College, you go to a match, it's a combination of living history and good times and the good people that we're talking about. There is no friendlier bunch anywhere than cowboy action shooters. If you went, took eye protection and ear protection, were polite, and asked questions, it would not be long before, I guarantee you, someone would take you by the hand, make sure you had good eyes and ears on, and say, "Here, under my supervision, why don't you try dumping a couple of rounds at the targets?"
Okay. All right, can you play just a quick chord?
Oh, sure. What do you want to hear? "I was learning to play this great cowboy game, but banging my head against a wall." One of my songs. "I was finishing last behind little kids, old ladies in wheelchairs and all, when an old cowboy took me outside for a talk in the line outside the Andy Gump. He said, 'Son, if you'd win this game that you're in, you'll need a Winchester pump.'"
Okay, thank you. Well, Mark and Ruby, thank you very much for joining my show. It's deeply appreciated. And to my audience, thank you for tuning in. This is your host, Richard Espinoza, reminding you, be safe, set a good example for lawful gun ownership, and have some fun with guns at the range. Good day, everyone.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.